And then last week I talked about how I've got an opportunity, or I've got, it's up to me and you too, on whether we doubt God's word or believe God's word and what we're going to do with it. And I trust and hope that for the most part that those of us here today truly believe God's word, amen, and that we can trust it and know that it's for us. And so today as I look at some things, there's a couple of areas I wanted to get into, and it's kind of crazy putting things together and trying to focus. And then this morning I opened up my Bible back in Sunday school, and I got a pin still left in my Bible from last night. I don't know, I'm surprised it didn't fall out, but there it is. But you're kind of going back and forth in scriptures and books and just trying to formulate a focus and a direction. And I hope I've done that today. And it came about committing your works to the Lord. Now, maybe it's off of a spin-off of because of Sunday morning, Sunday school, where we're talking about our works and good works and the fruit and the things that God is wanting us to accomplish. And he's placed these things out there for us. And the belief is, and an understanding is, we've got to come to understand this, that God has specific things for you to do. It's not just generically, it's just not haphazard. He doesn't just throw these things that he wants accomplished out into the thin air or into the future and says, well, I hope somebody picks up that idea and they run with it and fulfill it for me, because that's what I want. Now, God, I truly believe, has specific things that he places out there. And he's got us on that trajectory of our life. And he wants us to go from here to where he's got that work for us to accomplish. And it's for his glory. Amen. It's for his kingdom. It's not as much for you, but it is for you. But it's really for him and his kingdom and what he wants accomplished and how it's going to affect, really, at times, others around you as well, or people that are coming after you. We really don't know what we're all about, do we? We're here on this earth, and we're just walking through it and working through it. And a lot of us are in possibly careers that we totally enjoy, and there's others that are in careers that they totally dislike, you know, and they're out there, and they just don't know what it's all about, and am I really fulfilling what I need to do? Is this really happy? And I know the gentleman that was speaking on our Sunday school video saying that, you know, when you are fulfilling that, what God has for you, and you find that niche, you find that level, that generally within that, you don't have to prod that person to get up and go do, because they're just in that sweet spot with God. They just enjoy what God has them doing and fulfilling, and they jump out of bed maybe every day saying, I'm ready to go, you know, that's where I want to go, that's what I want to do. Back when my secular job, when I was working there, for most of the years that I worked with them, I just enjoyed it. I loved working with them. I loved going to work and seeing the people and meeting the people and being part of the company and just doing things and just enjoyed my life. And I had to even tell that to God. Remember when I said this in some of my testimony, that when I got to that point when God was saying, I wanted you to come and serve me now, Tim, and I said, Lord, you're going to have to make me despise my job because I love it too much. I don't want to lay it down. Well, he caused some things to happen, you know, because God meant business. And things happen, things develop, and I got pretty disgruntled after about 6, 8 months, 9 months into it. It's like, yuck, what happened? I love this, you know. That's after 15, 16 years into it. It's like, I love this. What's going on now? And he brought me back to that thought that I said, Lord, I love what I'm doing. I just want to do it. And so we had to get that change, and he had to adjust me. And he only adjusted me because I asked him to. I remember asking him, Lord, you're going to have to make me dislike my job so that I'm ready to go serve you, because I'm just connected too much to this. And I'll come and serve you later, but right now let me be. You know, how many here tell God, just let me be where I'm at. I'm happy. I'm fulfilling this and that. And then I'll come and do what you want me to do later, Lord. Well, we know that God really is not like that. When he calls you and beckons you to do something, he really wants you to kind of do it. on his time frame, not yours. And so it takes a lot of developing, it takes a lot of growing, it takes a lot of faith, it takes a lot of just being present with him, and not that I'm a super duper spiritual type person, but that I could at least take time with him, meditate with the things of him and his word, and just sometimes sit quietly and ponder some things and focus on directions and things, and then look at his word and think some things, and you know, just that back and forth thing. But when we come to this phrase that we hear, commit your works to the Lord, what happens when you hear that? Commit, you know. People don't want to hear that word, number one. How many people out there in the world really want to hear you to say that? You know what? You need to commit to this. And they go, I don't want to. It's against my nature. I don't want to be told that I've got to commit to this, to accomplish whatever. And so when we hear that, you know, boy, we could all of a sudden we start shaking and maybe get nausea in our stomach, like a commitment. You know, you find that a lot with in relationships, you know, of course, when that time comes for maybe marriage and you're talking to the couple and it's like, are you really wanting to get into this relationship and be committed to it, you know? And, you know, you can go through and look at a lot of different things out there, but you find a lot of times the guys are the ones that kind of drag their feet, you know? And the women do too sometimes, but probably on the whole, men will drag their feet a whole lot more on a commitment in a relationship because they don't know if they really want to go there, you know, because commitment means what? You're committed. God's people must actively and consciously trust that God's word is true and that he always acts in accordance with it. I kind of shared last week, you know, that's why, you know, there's two ways to take God's word. You either doubt it or you believe it. You got to take one of those roads. I have chosen, and I have through my times with him now, and as you develop, it's not always easy, and it's one of these growing things, and I think you'll agree with that, is that by now you continue to believe it and say, well, okay, if God spoke it, I believe it, and he'll bring it about. And I don't know how, Lord, but you'll bring it about. But I'll have to put my two cents in. You know, it's not like I'm just going to sit on my laurels and say, okay, I'm serving you, God. Bring the people, you know, or bring me into that position of what you want. It takes work on our part. And that's why men, especially in relationships, commitment is just like, you know, you're dating for maybe a few weeks and all of a sudden the woman's really saying, you know, boy, this is like, I like this and I like that. And she might say, I would really like to spend more time with you and maybe think about marriage. And the guy goes, whoa, you know, whoop. You know, I'm out of here. You know, I was just, you know, for the fun of dating and having a relationship and knowing somebody. Now you're talking about something that's really serious, you know, marriage. But the guy will run off. But getting back into God's word, we understand that God's word is true and that he always acts in accordance with it, what he says he'll do. Every situation that we encounter is an opportunity to choose to trust God rather than our own inclinations. You know, we go through things and you got that decision. I've told this before. Every day you guys wake up, you got a decision to make. You know, life is full of what? Decisions. When to get up, how to get up, where to get up, you know. Go to work, do you decide? I know there's a lot of things that force you into those things. I mean, there is a force there, but ultimately you have that decision to make on, do I get up and go, or do I stay here and call in sick, or do I just do whatever, you know? So there's decisions every day. And what's so astounding about that, or mind-boggling about that, is that it happens the minute the alarm goes off. You got to make a decision. Do I hit snooze? Yes. Put that thing down. 10 minutes later, yeah, I got you again. It's like swatting flies, you know? So, and you find out that that's really not the best thing to do. Studies show that for your prime ability to get up and feel energetic to go is that you need to get up and go once that alarm goes off. If you wake up 20 minutes before it goes off, you ought to just get up and go, because you get back into that twilight of sleep and it's actually worse for you to even make you even to get up. So it's kind of a crazy thing. I've kind of gotten some of that to where all of a sudden at 6 o'clock in the morning I'll wake up, or 5:30. One morning it's like 5:15. It woke up and it's like, I used to sleep. Well, I don't want to get up now, but it's like, just get up and do something, or go online, or go read the Word, or do something, you know, as far as getting up and focusing on God, or just pray, or do something. But anyway, we find that every situation that we encounter gives us that opportunity to choose to trust God rather than ourselves and our own thoughts, or our own inclinations. Faith involves an element of risk. It does, doesn't it? You know, when we had this Bible video on the fruit and the vine on Sunday school. And towards the end of it, he was sharing about how the works that man does and your works and how God is looking for works. Well, this group of people had gone on a mission trip overseas, and when they came back to the country afterwards, they were so involved and they were so, I don't know, enriched for that mission trip and serving God in that element, that they felt that it was important for them to stay there and to work in those mission-type thought processes, not stay in that country, but they did. He said, I think they left their jobs and moved to a ministry in Oklahoma to put this ministry together in Oklahoma, and they quit their secular jobs, and they just all went there to do it. Now, that took faith, but I'm sure it was scary, you know? You step out on those things, and it's not just when you sit there and say, oh, I'm a faith man, I'm a faith woman. It's not like you don't walk through life kind of like, you know, okay, Lord, you know, I've heard you, and I believe I've heard you, and now I've made these decisions to follow you, but I want to make sure it was really you, you know, and I'm going to need help. I'm going to need some confidence building along the way. I think we can do that by just, number one, we level up our faith of saying, okay, I believe you've said this, Lord, and here we go, you know, or how do we go where you want us to go? And he will drop these things into you. But faith does involve, there's a risk factor. When I left my job after about 3 or 4 weeks or a month and a half, I began to kind of get kind of queasy inside, thinking like, what did I just do? You know, that was kind of stupid, Tim. And then I had to go back into that quiet time with God. Ooh, there's, and to rehear his affirmation of what I was doing and hearing from him, and that it was the right thing. And you've heard me say this, that I've also told him that if I did it in error, correct me and put me back in that path of where I need to be within my job or wherever. And the company was so nice to me, they said, if this doesn't work out, come back and we'll give you a job back. We'll find something for you. You've been with us long enough. And I told him, I don't need that. I had to be walking faith, man. I had to speak that. I had to speak that down, I believe, because I believe that was to me, as I searched it more in my spirit and thinking times with God instantly that I heard that, was that I believe that was the enemy, the devil, trying to give me a comfort zone of saying, well, you can do anything you want for God as long as you got a bailout plan. But God doesn't want you to have a bailout plan when you serve him, because then he always knows that you don't have your full trust in him, because you still got your trust in yourself, or you still got your trust in man and how man can come in and save you. But God wants you to understand that no, man's not going to save you. I've called you for this, whatever it might be. All of our callings are different. But for me and where I was going, how he called me, but he said, I will, it's me. It's me, me, me. You've got to focus on me. And so I had to be rightfully, as soon as I was offered that, to kind of like shoot it down. Not that it was in disrespect, because I thanked them for that. But I said, I do not believe I'll be needing that, because my Lord is telling me it's time. But yet afterwards, I did want to say, Lord, if it was me, you know, with a bad, you know, pizza or something that night, correct me and put me back out there where I need to be. But faith involves an element of risk, but it yields the highest dividends. When you do those things for God, and it is risky, and it's you know, you're kind of like wondering for sure, but you know, but you're wondering, you're, you know, you've got to take that step of faith, that leap of faith, or whatever they want to call it, and that you've got to be able to know that it's God telling you these things. And when you do that, you find that in the end, or as it's growing and developing, that you begin to see the richness of it, the richness of it. And I could go on and some things in my life as it developed out of that, but I don't want to bore you with that or repeat it, that maybe you've already heard it. But there's so many things that God has richly done in our lives because of that commitment. Turn to Psalms 37:5. 37:5 in Psalms kind of gets us started, and then we're going to go to Proverbs. We're going to kind of just look at a couple of those scriptures there. But in Psalms 37:5, it says this. Psalms chapter 37, verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Wow. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him. We take that commitment to the Lord, you've got to trust Him, right? When I heard from the Lord to do these things in my life, I had to trust Him. When you hear from the Lord to tell you to do things in your life, you've got to what? Trust Him. Or go back to last week. I've got either the ability to have doubt about Him, or I've got the ability to believe about Him. And it's a choice. Amen? We get back to that choice. We wake up with a choice. We do things in daily activities by choices. You've got to choose to do this. God's Word tells us to choose this day who you will serve. God tells you, I'm giving you choices, Tim. Now you choose what you're going to do. And here it is, as far as my Word's laid out, what I'm going to do. Now, do you believe it or not? Amen. I believe it. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. And when you trust in Him, He's going to do what? He's going to bring it to pass. The Lord does not send you on a wild goose chase. The only ones that will send you out at the 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock at night to look for snipes is a Boy Scout troop. Or your group of boys or friends at a camp out or in some kind of an outing saying, hey, have you ever found a snipe at night? Have you ever gone that and found one of those at night? No. What is that? Oh, it only comes out at certain times of the evening. Now, here's how you go find them. You take this bag or this box or something, and you just kind of rattle. I don't know. You can make up anything you want because it's a made-up thing anyway. But they might say you take this bag and you kind of ruffle it every once in a while or whatever, and that kind of gets them stirred up, and you got to listen, and all of a sudden you'll know when you find a snipe because they'll make a call or you'll hear something. I don't know. It's been so long since. I don't think I ever fell for that. I think I was always on the side of the group of the guys that would, not that I would instigate that. I would just be on the backside, you know. I remember my Boy Scout days. That was always one of those things, you go camping. There's some of those new guys that come in, or Cub Scouts and stuff. But God doesn't send you on a snipe hunt. God does not just go, I'm going to have fun with Rick. I'm going to send him on a path that ain't going to go nowhere. You know, I'm going to put Willie on a path that's just going to go in circles. He's going to have fun trying to find out where I'm sending him, but I'm not going to send him anywhere. You know, God is not like that. God has a set path and a set direction for you to go and to accomplish, and He's not going to send you out there without the proper preparation if you take that time in prayer and reading His Word and, I don't know, being part of a church body for encouragement and all these things that you can just begin to unfold. But all I know is God is not going to send you out there to look for something that's a figment of man's imagination. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. We must consciously commit our plans. You've got to consciously say, I am going to do it. Do you believe that? I hope so. We need to consciously commit our plans to the Lord daily. You know, this is a daily thing. Our walk with God is daily. Sometimes we want to get into it like, well, it's like once a month or twice a month I'll walk with you, Lord, and help me through this, help me through that. Maybe in July I'll do this or whatever. But we understand, and hopefully you understand, that our plans daily, we need to lay it out before the Lord. Amen? Now, you don't need to plan out your day. If you work at company ABC and it's a Monday through Friday job at 9 o'clock, you got to be there. It don't take rocket scientists to figure out, well, Monday through Friday at 9 o'clock, I got to be at ABC job. But there's other aspects of your life that day that He's going to lay it out for you day by day, because it's going to be in that job maybe that day that He's going to bring somebody in your break room that you're going to share an encouraging word Nothing out of the Bible, but you're just going to share an encouraging word to that person, and that's going to open up something else for 2 days later when you're back in that break room, and that some things will begin to develop and open up to where then the Lord will begin to draw that person by using you closer to Him, and that's that plan of He's got day by day for you to follow. He has daily plans for us, and we've got to commit those daily plans to Him. We should not presume His help if you don't invite Him. If you're going to throw a birthday party and you got a cake that'll feed 30 and you put the balloons up and you put all these things out there and you put happy birthday or whatever, happy retirement, whatever it is, but you don't invite anybody, who's going to come? You're just going to be yourself. You and maybe a loved one. Where is everybody? I don't know. Did you send out any invitations? No. Okay, I think we missed a place there, you know. I think step two. Order cake, step two, send out invitations. But God is like that. Do not presume He's going to help you day in and day out if you do not invite Him to help you. God is not a God that will force Himself on you like that of the devil, where the devil would love to force Himself on you to get you so distraught and so unfocused and so discouraged. He will just keep coming at you and doing. God will not come at you and keep doing these things. He will just put His hands up and say, you're on your own, man. You invite me and ask for my help and I'll come and take care of these things, but I'm just not going to just show up because I'm a good God. But I am a good God because God is good. But I've given you that choice to decide who to choose to follow that day or your life. And I think a lot of times people get kind of discouraged in that because they don't truly invite Him in daily or through their life. They touch now and then with Him when problems are there. Things go good, they let Him go. Things get bad, they whine and cry. Then they cry out for God, and He comes by His grace and mercy. Thank God for that. But just to be a day in and day out thing, it's not going to be there unless you invite Him in. Now for us to learn, for us, when we hear or see this word, commit. I had already shared this, you know. For most of us, we start sweating and getting nauseated. I don't feel well. I'm getting lightheaded. Well, to commit ourselves to the Lord means to entrust everything. Our lives, our families, our jobs, our possessions, the list goes on. When you entrust everything, it's everything, right? With my whole heart, I give you. When we get married, in one of our vows and things we might say, everything that I have is yours, and everything that I have is yours, and it's a two-way street, and we come together, and we've joined together. That's the same thing with God. When we come to Him and we've had that gathering together and we've received Him into our life and He's received us to His, we begin to look at this. We find out that we need to entrust everything to Him. And when we don't do that is when we have problems in our jobs or in our families or with our possessions or whatever the case might be. We begin to have some struggles and we don't understand because we've committed a certain part of our life to Him but not all of our life to Him. And we wonder why, what's going on? But it's got to be a total trust and we've got to continually put those things into His care. So, committing to the Lord means to entrust everything, our lives, our families, our jobs, our possessions, goes on and on, to His control and to His guidance. When a person has gotten to this level, he or she has put their trust in Him, believing that He can care for them better than they can care for themselves. Isn't that great to know? We can pretty well take care of ourselves. But there is a point in time when you need some real help. I can doctor my own wounds for a while. And I can go on WebMD, and I can do a lot of stuff. But there's a point in time, after a while, it kind of goes past the level of just personal care at home, and you got to go to the doctor, and they got to give you maybe a stronger antibiotic, or they got to do a little bit more of infection control, or whatever the case might be, because I've been there. How about you? And I would go to the doctor, and I would explain, and they would say, "Ooh, that's, wow, that's worse than I thought, blah, 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 you know? And I'd explain everything that I was doing. I said, well, I know I should have come in about maybe 6 months earlier, you know. But I was trying to take care of it myself. I'm not one that wants to run to the doctor and all that type of stuff. I figure, hey, we got a pharmacy and I can get Band-Aids and all that. I can take care of it. You know, I watch John Wayne movies and stuff like that. I can do it. But, you know, there's a point in time where after a while you got to go to the specialist or the guy that knows really the deep down things. And even then he'll say, well, you know what, Tim? Everything you were doing was right on. I mean, you were trying to do it. I went to urgent care one time. The doctor there says, well, everything you say you're doing was what you need to be doing. But it just got a little, it just got away from you. You know, it's just you need a little bit more. And so we can do that, you know, with ourselves. But if we don't fully put our trust into them, now where was I at when we talk about this? When a person has gotten to that level, he or she puts her trust or believing in what they care for them better than they can care for themselves. We can care for ourselves to a point, but then again, I tell you what, there's some things that we can't do ourselves, and we got to call on God. But even for that, why don't we just call on God from the get-go and say, I surrender all. I surrender all. My life is in you, Lord. Come. I entrust everything that I have to you, Lord. Come. I don't want to go on, you know, God MD or something like that, or God Web to find out what do I need to do to what God would do, and then I'll try to do it. Because I can't do it like God can do it. I couldn't take care of my wounds like the doctor could do it, as much as I tried. So with God, we've got to learn that let's just go straight to Him. Let's just surrender everything to Him. Let's entrust everything to Him. And we make that choice to commit our ways to Him. Now this will usually require another word that we have issues with. And that's going to be patiently. We should be willing to wait patiently. Psalms 35:7. Gosh, you can go back there quickly, but this is talking about the Lord, the avenger of his people. But it says, for without these calls have hidden their net for me in a pit. Where am I at? 35:7. Oh, did I write the wrong one down? Oh, I'm sorry. 37. I said 35. Okay, still in 37, drop down to 7, where it says, rest in the Lord and do what? Wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes. And this is talking about, you know, even those that seem to be outside the realm of God, they seem to be succeeding. I don't understand this, and I'm with you, God, and I'm not, I don't know what's going on. No. It's all the plans and the purposes and what God's going on, but it goes back to that point A of entrusting him, committing to him, and don't look at your circumstances or don't look at those around you to see how they're prospering or how they're doing their life. You focus on your life with that full commitment and trust to God. But it is that word of to wait patiently for him to work out what is best for us. Many times we've got things that God has got lined up for us, and if we would just wait, maybe another 2 days, 3 weeks, 1 day, 2 hours, you name it, things would work out a whole lot better. But we get to that level of all of a sudden in our natural thinking, we go, wait a minute, it's not happening fast enough, I've got to do this myself. And we get ourselves into trouble because we did not wait patiently, because his word says, he will work out what is best for us. He will work out what is best for us and for our situation and for what I need. Do you believe that? I hope so. Here again, God is a God of his word, truth of his word. Let us find out that meaning as we look a little bit further here on this commit. We're going to drop and kind of threw that patience in there. That's a sideline to that as we commit. But and if I go to Proverbs 16:3. So the word in Proverbs 16:3, it says this, again, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. The Lord has made all for himself. And it goes on and on. But we understand everything that's out there, the Lord has made. He created it from the very beginning, you know. We talked about that, you know, after he created all this and put it into being, it's like he's not trying to figure out, well, what's 2018 going to be like? What's July of 2017 going to happen? I don't know. Well, we don't know, but God knows, because it's already created. It's already there. You know, well, when is Jesus coming back, Lord? He knows. Jesus didn't know, but he says, even my Father doesn't tell me, but there is a time and a place that I'm coming back. So God has this planned out all the way. So day by day, he's not surprised. But when we get into this Proverbs 16:3, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. So now we're looking at this word commit. Let's see here. If that in the Hebrew, commit in that is talking about roll. To roll your works to him or over on him. Listen to some of the things that we look at here. It's to roll down, roll away, to remove. You could look, and we're not going to jump there because of time, but in Genesis 29:3, this same word is referring to rolling the stone from the well's mouth. In Joshua 5:9, the reproach of Egypt is rolled off from Israel. It just goes on and on talking about how roll these things onto the Lord. Now we get down to a very interesting thought process. Here's a picture, a picture in your mind. Picture this in your mind. Talk about the meaning of this in those days. The picture is of a camel that is burdened with a heavy load. When the load is to be removed, the camel kneels down and tilts far to one side, and the load rolls off. So the camel's got this burden on him, carrying it for his master or his owner, and then says, okay, it's time to get this off. And, you know, they somehow get down on those little thin, spindly knees or legs, you know, and they just take it and roll it off, you know. Piece of cake, isn't it? That's what we've got to do. Roll. Commit your ways. Roll your ways over to God. Amen. Kneel down. Whatever you've got to do, just take it and just kind of like, let's get it off of my back, huh? So that's what that is talking about in there. If we turn over to the Lord what we plan to do, we can expect his purpose for us to be accomplished. If we turn it over to him, it will be accomplished. Do you believe God has anything out there that is undone that he wanted done and it's on his time frame? Do you think God has missed his time schedule of having something accomplished? And he goes, oh boy, 300 years ago I wanted this done and it didn't get done. I was wrong. No, God's not wrong. It was accomplished. It was done. It was taken care of. You can go back through Scripture. You can look at the Old Testament and all these things. And now, you know, you got to, in the Hebrew, it's as far as what this word commitment is and what it means there, is just a tad different than you get into the Greek and the New Testament, where we commit or we give ourselves, commit. So in the Hebrew, commit is to roll those things over. So I would look at ourselves and say, you know what I need to do? I need to roll my works over to the Lord. I need to roll my plans and whatever he's got going or I've got going, what I think I've got going, over into him. The meaning here, I've already shared it, is to roll down, roll away, or to remove. I think it's like gala or something like that is like the pronunciation of it, but in the Hebrew. I want to, let's see here. Whoops. Oh my goodness. Where am I at? Okay. That we've done. Another thought process as we look into this Proverbs area here of 16:3 is that there are different ways to fail to commit whatever we do to the Lord. And how do we fail in those areas? Well, some of these times we'll do it. We'll just do it superficially. We'll just kind of give him a little bit. Not all of it, just superficially. We'll hear them say things like, well, I'm doing this for the Lord, but in reality they're really doing it for themselves. Is that really God's work or is it your work? You know, as we commit these things to him, we want to superficially put it out there to make it sound like it's God, but it's not really that. Some may give God temporary control of their lives or their interest, but what happens? We take it back. When things stop going the way that we expect or the way we want, and we believe that God is not fulfilling what we thought he was going to do, we may take that back, that work, that thing, whatever it is, and I'll take care of it. I'll do it. I thought I'd give it over to you, Lord, but you're taking too long, taking too much time. Still others will commit a task fully to the Lord, but they won't put any of their own effort into it. Remember, that's what I talked about. You've got to put action into those things that God has asked you to do. You can't just believe God has told you to do something and then just sit back and wait that he's just going to open up the skies and everything's going to happen. It's all going to fall into place. It could happen that way. Generally, though, I believe it's one of those things to where you begin to work it out. You begin to develop. You begin to go. You begin to let him drop these things into you, allow him to prepare the way, but you got to go that way. Amen? He will prepare that path, you know. Set us on the path. Set my feet on the path, on the stay, you know. And we will do that and stay on that path and go. But you've got to walk on that path. You've got to commit yourselves to these things and that you've got to be willing to do that. They wonder why they failed when they don't put some of their own effort into it. It's not that God failed. You failed. We must maintain a balance, trusting God as if everything depended upon him, while working as if everything depended upon us. That's kind of a weird thing to hear that. But yeah, I depend on God, but you know, it's here again. It's that we've got to, you know, faith without works is dead, you know? We're going to find some of that stuff in the Vine message and all that about, you know, well, it's not that your works get you into heaven, but he does talk about we have works to do, right? And so our faith, you know, works without these things. We've got to develop this and grow into these things. We must maintain a balance, trusting God as if everything depended upon him, which it really does, while working as if everything depends on us. It's that thing that God gives you that ability. Amen. That we can take that and run with it. Now, quickly as we wrap this up here, well, we don't need to. There's some other areas within the Old Testament and in Job and some other areas in Psalms we've already covered in Proverbs here, giving charge and all that as we look at commit. The thing is that we need to get that word as part of our vernacular of who we are in God, that we do commit these things to you, Lord. I commit my way. I commit this life to you. You know, in our baby dedications and things like that, you know, we don't fully immerse them and we don't sprinkle them, but we will commit them back to the Lord. We will say, Lord, thank you for this child, and we just commit his ways to you. You know, lead him and help him or her and develop them into walking in your statutes and what you want them to do. We commit them back to you, Lord, and just ask you to be able to just work within their lives, you know. Now, we're turning them back to them, or it could be we're rolling their life over to them. Say, Lord, we just commit this child to you. And then after a while, the child gets up and develops, and then they get a decision to where they've got to choose, right? There's that age of accountability. There's that age now they have to take that and run. As parents, as a baby, we commit them back to you, Lord, and they're yours. You work in them. You develop within them, and may they always follow you. And as parents, may we do the right thing in nurturing and growing and developing them. One of the things in our Sunday school lesson this day was saying that one of the most powerful or most important fruits that we can ever have, you know, is our family, is our marriage, is our kids and things like that, of how you nurture and develop and the type of fruit that we have. And, you know, there's so many things built into that, but it is, that's an important part of our lives is our family and how we grow and develop. And it's not an easy thing. I tell you, remember last week or so back, and we talked about this, and I shared it again today back there, that in that Vine series, how this gentleman shared that in some of these vineyards, for that grape to be at its most succulent size and taste and sweetness and flavor, he says sometimes these vines have to be like 50 to 51 years old before they actually develop the prime fruit upon that vine. What? Can't just put Miracle-Gro on it and it's done? You know? It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of time for that vine dresser, the vineyard owner, to clip and to take that vine. It may do the same thing with God in our lives. as he clips us and prunes us and trims us, as we commit our lives to him and we roll these concerns over to him. I roll my life to you, Lord, and say, Father God, you know, work out my life and let me work it. You know, it's like, you know, plan the work and work the plan type of a thing or whatever you've got to do. But, you know, God does have that for us. And we just got to say, Lord, let me see that plan, and that plan is yours, and I'll work it. But I want it to be your work, and I want it to be fulfilling you and to glorify you. And then by glorifying him and by working for him, he will elevate you, he will promote you, he will take care of you, he will sustain you, he will do all these things for you because you have first surrendered yourselves to him, and you're his, and he is yours. Amen? That is good. That is good. Thank you, Father. So remember, commit your works to the Lord. You will not fail, and he will not fail. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for a glorious day. We thank you, Father, for your presence and all that you are about. And Lord, as we have this life before us, I pray, Lord, that we can commit it to you and roll it over to you and say, Lord, have your way in our works. Have your way in our days. And that we will do things, Lord, that will honor and glorify you. And that, Father, this load that you've given us, that it will not be that of a burden, Lord, because we roll it over to you. And we will fulfill what you have us to do. We will do it because of not of our own abilities, but because of your abilities. It's not going to be because of our knowledge and strength. It's going to be because of your knowledge and strength working through us. And we do realize and understand, Lord, that we have to do our part. First part of that, Lord, is to surrender it to you and to commit it to you. But the secondly is that, Lord, is that we will follow and do and go. And we thank you for that, Lord, right now. Father, I pray that we, and each of us here today, we would see a clear vision within us, Lord, a clear direction of what you would have for us to do individually as well, even here as the church, Lord. This church is yours, and may we continually be looking and searching for that focus and that direction, Lord, that you would have so that we honor and glorify you in all that we do. Father, we can only do this because of you working in us. And if we want to see it to come to completion and an accomplishment of what you have, we've got to surrender to you and we've got to be just obedient to walk with you. Love you, Lord. We thank you, Father, now.